Good morning. We'll begin our EMP today by reading the Word. So let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 1 to 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal-Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, 'They are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in.' Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. And they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea before Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Amen. So let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for this morning where we can come together as a community and read your word and allow your word to speak to us. So now we invite you, Holy Spirit, come. I pray that you would silence any distractions. I pray that you would bring focus. I pray that you would open our ears and our heart to receive everything that you want to speak to us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, good morning. It's a pretty simple message today. So let's see where we go here. But it's essentially the main point that I want to talk about is this verse: "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." So we want to unpack that a bit. And this just came out of my own devotional just this week. But so to recap what's happening here. So essentially God did all the miracles in the land of Egypt. He saved Israel, forced Pharaoh to let his people go. And now they're progressing. They're in the desert. They're progressing to the promised land. But, you know, I'm sure most of us know, if you look at the geography of what they did, they could have gone in a straight line to the promised land. I mean, instead, and you imagine, this is Pharaoh's land, right? So they were just very big defeated, but he has scouts all over the place. So he's sitting in a city, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I lost my firstborn, what's going on?" And then that's happening, but then he starts getting reports from the scouts. This is his backyard, right? And he says, "You know those Israelites? I think they're lost, sir. We don't know what they're doing." But, I mean, you should imagine that they should be going this way, but they're going this way, and then they're going this way, and then they're going this way. I mean, I know that there was their God who did all these miracles for them, but we don't know what's going on. But they seem to be going around and around in circles. And that's what we read today, right? Yeah, God spoke to Moses and said, "Hey, tell the sons of Israel to turn back that way." And actually, what he's really saying is, "Turn back that way, and I want you to go to a place from where you won't be able to exit." So essentially, I want you to go to a dead end. That's what he's saying. If you look at the geography of what we're saying, he's saying, turn back from here, go back this way, turn here, and you're going to a place where you're going to be on this side, you're going to be surrounded by the Red Sea, and there's no way to cross because the floodwaters are too low and you can't ford it. And on this way, there's only going to be one way out. So God told them to do that. But from someone who doesn't have God's perspective and the Holy Spirit, it looks like you're going around in circles. And so that, it almost is like he's enticed. Of course, Pharaoh had a choice. He could have still said, God is God. He could have been like Nebuchadnezzar, right? And once he's humbled, he could have stayed humbled and said, God, you are God. And I won't pursue these Israelites. No, but something arose in Pharaoh and he said, hey, it looks like maybe they're lost and maybe their God isn't leading them anymore. So I'm going to chase after them. I'm going to get mine back. Right? That's what happened. So, but what is God really doing? Right? I feel, so my first point is, you know, sometimes when it looks like God leads us to the wilderness, actually God's just setting us up for victory. Right? So that's just the first point. Because again, it's God who made them go around and around and around. And here's the thing. If we don't get into God-sized situations, we don't ever have a time for God to come through with God-sized solutions. Right? If you're complacent, if everything is good, and you're at home, and it's like, hey, everything's good, I have a, you know, my life is good, everything's good, you're not really, they're not really seeking God, are you? You're not really trying to seek more of him, trying to be like, God, only you can do this. You're not humbled. And so sometimes God does need to lead us to these situations where only he can come through. And so there's a more of God. So that's just number one. So God sometimes sets us up so that we can experience more of him. And again, just look at the text. I'm not making it up. It's God who led them around to go around in circles. Now, number two, this is actually, this was what made me, this point was what made me all go into this passage more. But again, going reading into. So essentially what happens is now the Israelites see Pharaoh's army. He sees all his chariots coming after him. They're in a dead end. Here's the Red Sea. The one exit way that they had was this way. And they see that the army's coming after him. And they're panicking. They're in fear. And so now, instead of moving in faith, God, you know, I mean, you did all those miracles in Egypt. You can save us. Instead of that, they regress back to fear and worry and essentially complaining. Hey, and they tell Moses, hey, why have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Didn't we tell you? You should just leave us alone. And then what does Moses say? Moses says, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. And this, the verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. And essentially, I want to drill into this, keep silent. So this is the NASB that I'm reading. But there, you know, let me just throw you some other versions. So NLT is the Lord himself will fight for you, just stay calm. Which, it's pretty okay. The ESV is the Lord will fight for you, you only have to be silent. But I really like the Amplified Classic. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace and remain at rest. You shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Yeah. So hold your peace, remain at rest. The word here is actually karesh. And it's one of, I think it's become one of my new favorite words. Because this is a definition, okay? So number one, it's a verb. But also, mostly, the Strong's translates it as peace the most. And then second, it's plowing. So think about this. So the number one way that this is translated, this word, is peace. And then the second way is plowing. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? So just to step back, think about this. For us in our culture, the Hebrews, they had, I mean, we have one word for, like, let's say, be still. For stillness, we have just a few words, right? Be still, be quiet, be tranquil. I mean, you know, these are just some of the words that we can use, right? But the interesting thing is, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, there are so many words for this one concept of being still. There's, I won't go into it because primarily I don't know how to pronounce all those things, but the Hebrews had so many words for being still. And let that speak to us. Let that speak to us. Because I think in our sense, in our modern society, maybe we don't understand how to be still sometimes, because there isn't much opportunity to be still. But the Hebrews, they had something. They understood something about what does it mean to be silent, the different aspects, different facets. Like, I mean, you could have, for instance, like a quiet of someone, you know, like someone who's just so drained. They're just totally beaten down, and so they're silent because they just can't utter anything. And then there's someone who's silent as they're reflecting, as they're waiting on something, as they're thinking about something. There could be, let's say, like a quiet stillness of peace, or there could be like this ominous lack of hope kind of silence, right? So imagine, like, there are words for all those different things in the Hebrew, these different types of silence. And the word here, karesh, today, is about a silence, not of just being silent and just being passively, just be silent and wait for God just to do his thing. That's not what it's saying. It's actually an active, I mean, we can't really fully understand it without being, I guess, knowing the language fully, but there's a part of you're ready for something. This is the silence that we're talking about today. You're plowing. You know what plowing is, right? You're getting ready to farm. You're plowing something. That's the aspect of the word that we see today. Because number one, it's translated, number one is peace. Number two, the most often way it's translated is plowing. And Moses could have used many different words to say stillness and be quiet, shut up, whatever. There's many different ways that he could have said it, but he used this word. So there's meaning there. Yeah? So imagine like as you're plowing, you're preparing for the harvest, you're preparing to farm. You're getting the soil ready. You're plowing up. Plowing means like you're digging up the hard soil so that you can plant your seed. That's the type of being still, being silent that we're talking about today. It's not just like in the NASB, be silent and God will come through. No, it's be expectant. Be expectant that Father God's going to do something. Don't be complaining. Don't let fear crowd out your faith, but just be still and allow God. So be prepared, expectant for God to do something. Don't be like what the Israelites were doing, which were as you're faced with the army, the Egyptian army with the chariots running at you this way, and you're stuck with the Red Sea this way. Don't be like, why did you get us out? Why did you bring us out of Egypt where we had all these watermelons and cucumbers that we could eat? Why did you do this? Instead of complaining and fear, no, you expectantly you're being still for God to do something, even when maybe it doesn't look like it can happen. You know, the reason this came to mind, actually, I'm sure many of you saw, but this was like the YouVersion verse of the day or something, and earlier this week. And as I was reading it in my early morning quiet time, God just really started speaking to me, and I started digging into it. And something came to mind. You know, we had an all-sons meeting on Sunday. An all-sons meeting is this. If you're serving in church, you're invited to attend the all-sons meeting. So let this be just a gentle thought. If you weren't there, just, oh, why am I not there? Why am I not serving at church? Just a thought. But he said something, and I don't think P. Sam necessarily had any specific thought, but when he said something, something resonated. He said, the first half of the year is over. Thank you for your service. But he said, the first half of the year is over. And as I was thinking about that in my quiet time, something resonated, and I felt like it's true. The first half is over, and the first half was preparation. Like, our church as a body, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened, right? But when I was thinking about even the sermon calendar that we have, the first half was all about preparation. I don't know what's going on in your life, but the first half was all about we're learning about how to be prepared to receive more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? And PSAM has even shared about, hey, our soil has to be good. Our character has to be ready. We have to be ready to move in love. And that's why I think he was leading us, our senior leader was leading us about the 40-day prayer declaration. Are there strongholds? Is there bitterness? Is there any unforgiveness in your life? Are there any lofty thoughts that go against the truth of God in your life? Is there anything that's not aligned with the truth of God in your heart and your mind? And if that is the case, you need to fight. You need to fight. You need to break those strongholds down and pull down those lofty thoughts. And that's the 40-day prayer declaration. And learning about the character of God, that's what it is, right? And then in the second half, God wants to release something in our body. Actually, and even the thing, at the All Sons meeting, Rachel actually came up and she shared about the river ministry, which is about inner healing and deliverance. And I realized, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but it was like a call. God's inviting us to say, you need to get your house in order. First half of this year, it's time for you to get your house in order. Because I want to pour out the more of God in the second half. I want to release more spiritual gifts and that stuff. But it's not going to happen if my Holy Spirit doesn't have a place where it can rest. I want to not just come and rest. I want to come, rest, and stay and inhabit with you. Does that make sense? So, and then I thought, how is everybody doing? Like, as a body, are we doing the housekeeping? And I'm just going to, you know, I'm just being full open kimono with you guys. I was thinking about my attitude about this 40-day prayer declaration and about how I saw our attitude in my house church about the prayer declaration. And truth be told, very honestly, I was not taking it as seriously as I should, right? I mean, every time I heard EMP, I would be like following along with the prayer declaration. But to do this properly, you need to be meditating before God. God, Holy Spirit, show me what are the areas in my life that I have strongholds and I need to break down. And then God, I really stand on this, and for 40 days, I'm going to give it the full, the pest removal system. You know, I'm going to do this fully. But how many of us have done that? And the sense, I could be wrong, but the sense I got was not many of us have really done that wholeheartedly. So I just repented. And starting from this week, me and my wife, we're taking it more seriously. And we decided we're just going to start the 40 days over again for ourselves. So I put it on my calendar. You know, you can very easily put an automatic repeat calendar invite for yourself for 40 days. And so every day at the same time, we're prayer declaring this. And we're going after this thing. Because I'm sick and tired of us running around the mountain again, the same thing over and over and over again. That was really the main word. It's more of an exhortation. I felt like anybody who's here, anybody who's listening, take it seriously. Let's not go around the mountain again. And it's okay. God is very merciful and gracious and loving. Start today. If you didn't take this 40-day prayer declaration seriously, start today. Take it seriously. Let's do it. This summer is not a time for us to check out. This summer is not, oh, house church is over. Oh, yeah, now I can chill. I'm going to Italy for the summer. I don't know where you're going. Wherever. It's not a time for that. I feel like this is a Kairos time. This summer is a time to break things off of us. It's a time to get ready to cross into the promised land for us as a body. But the body doesn't get to move unless we all move together, okay? And that's actually my next point, my final point, really. I was reminded of everybody, so you don't have to go there, but in Joshua 7, so what happens, you don't need to go there, I'll explain what happened, Joshua 7. So we had the Israelites under the leadership of Joshua. They crossed over into the promised land. They had this amazing victory in Jericho. They listened to the word of God. What should we do? Walk around the walls of Jericho for every day for a few days. And the walls came tumbling down. They came in. Great victory. But God told them something. He said, everything in Jericho you must not take. Nothing you must take. All the gold, whatever beautiful things you see, you cannot take it because these all must be all burned and destroyed. And there was a reason for that. It's because he didn't want anything left of that religious spirit, that religious background to seep in. Because, you know, think about it. In any culture, What kind of stuff do you make into gold? What kind of stuff do you make into precious things? Usually things that are in religious artifacts, right? Because these are seen as precious. So all those things you must destroy. Instead, what happened? There was this guy called Achan. He coveted. He went in, and it says here in chapter 7, verse 20, Achan answered, because essentially Israel, they went off after the great victory at Jericho, they went off to another place called Ai, and they were fighting, and they got their butts whipped. They lost men. And Joshua and the Israelites were like, God, what happened? You told us, we're in the promised land. I thought we're going to have easy victories now because, you know, the Jericho wall came tumbling down. This is great. And then how come we got our butt whipped? And essentially God said, hey, don't complain to me. You have a sinner in your midst. Someone broke trust and covenant with me, and I can't be with you if that happens. And so, you know, they go through and they figure out it was this Achan who did this. And Achan says this in chapter 7, verse 20. Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord, because he was found out. They found the treasure that he stole from Jericho under his tent. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. Okay, so what happened? Essentially, Achan, he saw something beautiful. A mantle, it's actually, it sounds like a mantle, like a fireplace mantle. No, it's actually a garment. So he found a beautiful garment from Shinar. So scholars think what this means is, like, they went into the temple, they were destroying all the things, and they went into the foreign god temple, like an idol, and he saw this beautiful, on top of all the golden stuff, he saw this beautiful clothing. And it must have been embroidered very well with gold and everything, and he coveted it. But it was a religious artifact. Yeah, it was in that temple probably, but he took it. And so there was sin. He didn't obey God. And then you know what happened? That's why the whole body could not win. The whole body could not be victorious of this because of this one man's sin. Let this speak to you. You know, I think in this individualistic society that we live in, we're all so easily lone rangers. I want to tell you something. If today you're here in EMP, if the person sitting who's going to be sitting in front of you, next to you, and behind you, if they're not right with God, that affects you. Let me say that again. If the person, your brother and sister, sitting in front of you, next to you, or behind you, is not doing well, that impacts you. And here's another thing. If you're not doing well, that impacts everybody else too in this body. Christianity, walking the Christian walk, is not a Lone Ranger game. You can't say, I'm doing fine. I'm doing my QT. Me and God are good. That's not how it works, friends. If your brother and sister is not walking well with the Lord, it's up to you to help him out, her out. It's up to you to, because we are in a community. In this word, Bible, there is never a case where I just care about you and you doing well, and if you do well, everything's good. It's always about family. It's always about community. And as there's so many examples. I'm not going to go into that because I want to make it shorter today and give everybody time to pray. It is about the community. There's a reason that God has placed you in this house church, in your house church, in this Solomon's porch, in this local body of Christ. Let that sink in. So how you do affects everyone around you. And how people around you do affects you. Christianity is not a Lone Ranger thing. So as Ernie comes up and leads us in some worship, to sum it all up, what am I trying to say? One, God wants to do something. So this is more of an exhortation. It's not like, you know, like a Bible, like a thing. It's more of a exhortation. I really sense this is the kairos, this is the now word. God wants to do something in this body. Of course, right? Of course he wants to. But this is now time. And I think many of us, we haven't gotten the message, including myself. It's time to clean house. It's time to make sure your house, you are good with God. You're repentant. You've taken care of business. All the weight of your sin, all the weight of bitterness, unforgiveness, not trusting fully in the Lord, distractions, maybe you're not spending enough time with God. You want to spend time with God, but you're letting the distractions of the world. Again, what Peter says, right? He says, hey, all the things that weigh us down and distract us from God, plus sins. So all those other things are not sins, but they still could be distracting. They're weighing you down. They're pulling you away from God. And like I shared last time, I said, hey, Ravenhill said that entertainment is the devil's counterfeit for God's joy. So let that speak to you. If that means cut your Netflix subscription, I don't know. But entertainment is the devil's counterfeit for joy. Okay, so whatever it is, summer, this is not a time for us to check out, friends. This is a time for us to dig. This is a time for us to run after God. And if God's doing, and maybe God has allowed, just like with the Egyptians, he allowed some difficulty to come. But maybe, as C.S. Lewis said, maybe sometimes pain is God's megaphone to wake up a deaf and dumb world. So yeah, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And Koresh, it's Koresh time. Expectant stillness. Expecting that Father God wants to do something. I really believe God wants to release something in the second half. But we're not there. We're not there. Are you even waiting? Are you even expectant? Until you heard this message, maybe you're like, everything's good. My job's okay. You know, my family, no one's sick. I'm okay, you know. I come to EMP once a week. I go to attend house church sometimes. But really, are you passionate for God? Do you have a hunger for God? Yeah. So that's it. Is there any, prays over us? I mean, sings over us. Let's do that. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come, speak to you, bring conviction. And then if he does, let's quickly humble ourselves and change direction. That's repentance, right? So let's do that.
Bring me to my knees. I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me, and I will ride on eagle's wings. Come live in me, oh my life, take over. Come breathe in me.
Maybe before we go to our community prayer today, let's spend some time interceding for our brothers, the ones who are going to be in your house church, the ones you know, the ones who are sitting, who are going to be sitting in front of you, behind you, around you. Let's pray for them. Let's pray, number one, that they would get this message somehow, share with them. But, you know, don't go around the mountain again. You know, our senior, you know, Pastor Sam has invited us to do a 40-day prayer declaration to really deal with this. Also, maybe if they need to sign up for the river, get some inner healing deliverance, and move past whatever issues that have been keeping them down. Please, let's pray. Let's intercede for them that Holy Spirit will bring conviction and that they will break through. Also, that this message that we are in community. There are no lone rangers. You know, we're only strong as our weakest link. And that's not to mean that we cut off the weakest link. No, that's to mean that we come along them, alongside and in love and protect them and cover them and help them along, encourage them. So let's pray for those things. Lord, we just repent, God, of being so easily satisfied by things that are not from you, Lord. Lord, things that are good, but they're not the best. Lord, we're so easily distracted. Lord, and we just want to repent, God, of not making you our first love. Yeah, we just repent, God, of we're so easily satisfied with mud pies, Lord. I just pray you would bring conviction, holy conviction, Lord. Wake us up. Wake up our spirit man, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever lethargy, I pray that you would break it off of us in Jesus' name. Laziness, God. Break it off of us in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we begin with ourselves, God, and we just pray that there would be more conviction for all of Solomon's Porch, Lord. Yeah, so let's move on to our community prayer topics today. So again, how our body is doing, how our other members are doing, affects us, and how we're doing affects them. We're one body, we're linked together. So let's cover them as if it's our relatives, as our friends, our loved ones. So let's really fight for them. Moving on to members of our community who are ill, but also need healing in their spirit and their souls. They need salvation. They need to know Jesus. So let's cover them up as well. Cover them as well.
Let's move on to members of our community who are dealing with infirmities. Let's pray for fullness of healing. Let's rebuke any spirit of infirmity and command wholeness and health into those parts of the body that need healing. Let's pray for members of our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for release of God's provision, and also at this time for peace and for God to guide them very clearly, to speak to them very clearly, for open doors and for doors that need to be closed to be closed. To our mission focus today. North Korea, and also missional opportunities, partnerships, and also let's cover the persecuted church. Cover the SP weekend gatherings as well. Single Life Workshop, I believe they, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN, SP Indonesia, and SP Philippines service and activities, and all meetings. Let's pray for anointing on the leaders and on the meetings. Let's pray for it to be a Holy Spirit-filled activities. Let's also cover Hong Kong. Let's cover Hong Kong. Let's pray for the peace of the city. Let's pray for our leaders and also for let's just cover the city. Father God, we thank you for this morning where we come together. Allow your word to speak to us and to pray. I pray that, yeah, somehow, Lord, this message, God, would land on good soil and bear eternal fruit. So, Lord, I thank you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Please enjoy the rest of your prayer time.